I am 61. I got married when I was 21. I have no business speaking about what it means to be single. I understand that. But we're talking about the fact that our lives are indeed many times a beautiful mess. God created us in His image. He wants what's best for us. He has plans for us. That's what Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says. And in the midst of our circumstances, God wants to speak. And you can't speak about our lives without including everyone. And many times, without even meaning to, we seem to forget a very large part of our population, not only in the world, but in the life of our church. It would be those who are single adults. We're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture that illustrate what the Bible has to say about being single. They come out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. One of the most perplexing, frustrating, but yet beautifully explained passages that deals with not only marriage, but it deals with the life of a single adult. Call them unmarried, call them single. But we had a minister on our staff some years ago who was single, and she detested being called single because she said, "Stephen, a single is that little piece of cheese that's wrapped up in plastic. That is a single. And I am not a single." And I said, "Okay, Angela, what do you want to be called?" She said, "I'm a single adult." I said, "Fair enough." So whether unmarried, whether single, or single again, and of course that includes people who may have had a breakup in their marriage, a divorce, someone who has lost their spouse, a widow, a widower, or I've come to appreciate this explanation, that our church is filled with families of one, a family of one. Well, you can go through the line of definitions or titles, whichever feels most comfortable to you. But we want to spend a few minutes this morning dealing with the fact that we need to help one another. And we need to understand our place in life, our station in life. And there's a lot of confusion about marital status. It's especially heightened in the day and age in which we live, where there are so many decisions that are made that are affecting all of us. And so I want to simply spend a little bit of time, once again, trying to help you understand that I have no expertise in what it means to be single, but hopefully we can help one another. Paul gives us some advice. It's found in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 7, 8, and 9. He says, "Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Okay, let's quit. Let's go home. King James Version is the translation I grew up with. It says it's better to marry than to burn. And one interpretation was that meant burning in the fires of justice or judgment. I don't think that's what Paul was saying. He's talking about sexual feelings, sexual relationships. And Paul's advice, basically, as you read through those three verses, is as simple as this. Marriage is good. Singleness is good. There's a lot of debate over whether Paul was married or not. It's evident in this passage, at least in the context, as far as I'm concerned, that he is speaking from the vantage point of someone who was not married at that time. Others would say that's not possible. He was a rabbi, and the rules and the regulations and the requirements for being a Jewish scholar or a Jewish rabbi was that you would take a wife. And indeed, he very well may have. He never really speaks of it. We don't know if his wife left him when he converted to Christianity. That's a possibility if he was married. We don't know if perhaps he was himself a widower. But we do know that Paul is stating that in my present station of life, which would appear to be that of a single adult, he said it would be best, in my opinion, he says, that everyone would remain as I. And he's got reasons for saying that here in just a few minutes. But the bottom line is, if you're married, great. If you're single, great. But understand that celibacy is a gift that God gives some of us. It is not a behavior or a lifestyle to be pursued. And marriage, likewise, is a gift given to some. Either one, either station of life is fine. Now, to hear some girls, single young adult ladies talking over here, they're the product of a lot of attitudes within the church that are flat out wrong and embarrassing and rude. Paul says, hey, even though I don't have a clear word from God on this, and he makes that very clear. So he's walking a thin line here. He is trying to help people understand where they are and what station of life they're in. When he refers to widows here on more than one occasion, don't automatically take it to mean it's those in our society that are way past senior adult living and are living out the rest of their lives without a spouse. A widow in the New Testament times probably was a very young girl. The lifespan, especially of men, was so much shorter back then that it was not uncommon for a young woman before she reached the age of 20 to have been married at least two times. Disease, war, whatever would have taken the life of her spouses. And so Paul is trying to help these people in this society that's far different from ours to understand how best to honor God in their living. He gives advice in verses 32 through 35, advice to unmarried and to married people. And by the way, if you're looking for resources on the single adult lifestyle, there aren't that many. There aren't that many illustrations out on the internet of any kind. There aren't that many passages in the scripture that refer to it. It's always against or opposite a discussion that is much longer of those who are married. It's interesting. Paul has much to say in these brief verses about those who live a single lifestyle. Let's hear what he has to say. He says, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. His interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say to you for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. I think Paul's talking about an ideal world here, don't you? I mean, is every single adult you know totally committed to the mission that God has for them? Is every married couple you know, is every husband and every wife so concerned with pleasing their spouse that they have nothing else to do? Probably not. But let's take Paul in the spirit of what he's trying to convey to us. That if he's trying to help people understand that marriage is okay, the single lifestyle is okay, that you have to practice self-control. You need to please God in whatever state you find yourself in. So what's he really saying here? If you go back and read some of the previous verses that we don't have time to cover this morning, you'll find that a lot of what was on Paul's mind about, especially urging people to remain single, but marriage is okay, was because of some circumstances going on in the first century. In verses 29, 30, and 31 of chapter 7, we didn't read it, but Paul says one of the reasons why I suggest that wherever you find yourself, remain as you are. Don't seek to separate. Don't seek to divorce. Don't seek to remarry. Don't seek to marry for the first time. Don't seek to leave. Why? Because he said the end is near. And he meant the second coming of Christ. And you go, wait a minute, what? Paul felt that the return of Jesus was imminent. Could happen at any moment. And we need to believe that today. Even 2,000 years after the fact, every generation should live as though it's backed up against the last days. It hasn't happened yet for whatever reason. Now, that's in God's timing. But part of what Paul is saying here is I want to urge you to stay as you are, especially if you've been given the gift of a single lifestyle of celibacy, to do this because the end is close. There's a lot going on. Don't be concerned with your marital status one way or the other when the coming of the Lord could happen at any moment. That was one of the things driving Paul. Now, once again, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that because we don't think in those terms. But Paul did. He talked about marriage distractions. And this is over against those who were single. You remember he said the single adult can give full devotion to the work of the Lord, whereas the married person is having to give full devotion to his or her spouse. Where is he coming from? Well, we all know the honey-do list. Yeah, you know what it is. You might ask a person if they're nearing the age of retirement, if they're going to retire. And they go, absolutely not. If I retired, I'd be working harder than I ever have worked in my life. Because of what? The honey-do list. This morning, our staff meets at 7:15 to pray over here in the conference room. And we were gathering, getting ready to get down to business. And Jimmy was all smiles. And he's all smiles, he said, because hunting season is coming around. It's deer season. Michael said, I went deer hunting once. And someone remarked, and you found your deer and married him. Is that correct? So you got the jokes going all around about what it means to be married and to please your husband or your wife. And so Paul is saying, wherever you find yourself, know that if you're single, you have the opportunity to do things that a married person cannot do. And if you're married, you have to always be on guard that you're not so preoccupied with the married life that you miss out on some of the most incredible blessings God could give to you. All against the background that marriage is fine, the single life is fine. It's whatever God would lead you to do. Another distraction Paul would mention is children. You know what it's like, if you've ever raised children, to raise children. To know that, once again, he's not speaking against parenting. He's not speaking against marriage. He is just simply telling the truth that when you choose to marry, you're bringing along a lot of responsibility, a lot of excess work, if you want to look at it that way, that a single, unattached person does not have to be encumbered with. Children are certainly part of that. Children are a blessing. But they take time. They take a lot of energy. Sometimes they take more than you would ever imagine. So where's Paul coming from? What's he saying? He's trying to tell us that there are some takeaways from a passage like this. There are some things that we can focus on. And I want to give you those and discuss them just briefly. These are not the only ones, but they were the ones that seemed to rise to the top in my mind. You may have an additional list. When you pastor a church, you can give them to them. But now, these are mine. Are y'all mad at me today or something? Yeah. Okay, I've been good all week. If only. What do I mean by that? from the perspective of someone who desires marriage more than anything. And we put the pressure on people who are single to search just for that. We make them feel as though they're not fulfilled until they reach that place where they marry. And a lot of that brings with it this second guessing. If only what? We'll just fill in the blank. If only I had met so-and-so, then my life would be different. If only I had said yes when asked on that date, things might be different for me. If only I had pursued so-and-so instead of pursuing my work, life would be different. You can't second guess where you are in life, my friends. If you do, you're not going to give yourself anything but more trouble. I helped with a wedding a few weeks ago, a couple I did not really know. But after talking with them, because I don't marry just people. That didn't sound right. I don't marry people I don't know. That's the best way to put it. All that get married are people. I'm selective about where I participate. But I agreed I would help them. Man, 51 years of age, never married, marrying a much younger lady who had a 9-year-old. Son. And I looked at both of them and I thought, y'all have no idea. Especially you, my friend. You have no idea. Living the single life for 51, till you're 51, and now you think you're going to jump into this marriage thing and it's going to be all fun. If only. It hits you from all angles of life. And it could be one of the most devastating two words that you use. Matter of fact, I've told you this before, but the word if in the scripture is about as bad as any profanity you could ever utter. Because if ruins more lives than any other word, because it builds into it doubt and despair and frustration. So take away from a passage like this, whether you're married or you're single, whether that's what you want, whether your station in life is not where you want to be right now, don't fall into that trap. Seasons of life. What I mean by that is acknowledge that God loves you and has a plan for your life. And in particular seasons of life, as you trust God, you'll feel differently about things. If you're at such an age and going through such a season of life where every single person that surrounds you is in a different marital status, perhaps having their first child, then realize that in that season of life, God still blesses your life. And that there will, by trusting Him, perhaps be in another season of life, in another age of life, when you're a different age, when you're in a different locality, perhaps when you are in a different career, if there's ever a change in those things. Just trust that in the seasons of life, God meets your needs. That one statement, or that one concept, of trusting God wherever you are in life can make things so much better, whether you're married or single or whatever you're pursuing. There's another timeless takeaway that comes to my mind, and that is a simple fact that singleness is not a holding pattern. This may be the hardest thing for single adults to understand and to know. But singleness is not a holding pattern. Though our society may make you feel that it is. It is not. The life of a single adult, when put in proper perspective, and when you're truly trying to reach that ideal of in a single status being able to put so much more effort into what God would have you to do in serving His kingdom, then you begin to forget that your singleness is a crutch or it is a block or it is some type of obstacle. It is not a holding pattern. It's a place where God has put you. It is a gift that He has given to you. Can you do things in the life of a church like ours when you're a single adult? Casey just told us. Absolutely. Can you teach a Bible study class? Yes. Can you be a deacon in the life of our church if you're single? Absolutely. We have some men who are single adults who serve in the deacon leadership of our church. Is there an opportunity for single adults to thrive and to teach us? Possibilities are endless. If you don't see singleness as a holding pattern in one's life. Paul wrapped it up there in verse 35 when he said, I say all this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate, to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. So the crucial question is, how can I best serve God? How do I best serve Him? That's the question you need to ask. That's how a church needs to view all of those who come into the family. Not whether you're in this status or whether you're in that status, or maybe someday you'll be here, maybe someday you'll go there. But how can we all best honor God and serve the Lord where we are? Marriage, it's great. Singleness, it's great, Paul says. You just need to be clear. Wherever you find yourself, single again, married again, never married, you simply need to understand and know that lives that get messed up can be made beautiful, can be seen for what they truly are intended to be, and that is beautiful in God's eyes. If we simply follow Him. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to gather here, to be in Your house, to honor Your word. Father, I pray that what we communicated this morning helps. I pray that we haven't sowed more seeds of confusion. And Father, I pray that in the midst of a society in which we live, that we would value all people, that we would give honor to where You have placed each person in our path. Father, I thank You for a church that seeks to reach out and to involve in service people from all walks of life. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence with us, and it's in Christ's name we offer our prayer. And all God's people said, amen. We offer an invitation as we conclude this service. That's what we do every time we meet, because we believe that God gives us an opportunity to respond when He speaks to us. So from the top of this hour, whether it was a song that spoke to you, whether it was a report of our own church's involvement in missions, whether it was reading a passage from God's Word that perhaps you hadn't seen before or you see it in a different light, you've been compelled. God has put before you a choice that He wants you to make. And sometimes those choices need to be public choices. Like what? Well, maybe you're here this morning and you've never crossed that line of faith and said yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life, of serving Him, of finding Him, of becoming a follower of Jesus. You can call it anything you want. Some people call it getting saved, converted, crossing the line of faith, accepting the Lord. All means the same thing to me. It's understanding and knowing that Jesus did something for you and me that we could never do for ourselves when He died upon that cross. And that in making that spiritual exchange and in giving to Him our lives, we become His children and He grips us forever. So I invite you to come and make that choice to follow Jesus. And you may say, I'm not sure what to do there. That's great. That's fine. We'll help you. There'll be ministers and deacons here to give counsel and to pray for you. It's a choice you have to make, but one we certainly want to help you in making. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone. Tell us. And by telling us, you're telling the world. Maybe you've never taken a step of obedience called believer's baptism like Cohen McCarthy did at the beginning of our service. It's a symbol. It's telling the world that you now belong to Jesus. We didn't make it up. It comes from the very will and the mind of God, and it's a command. So if there's confusion on that, let's visit about it. And maybe you will see fit to experience believer's baptism of your own choosing. Would God lead you to join our church today? Great churches all around here. My counsel to people is find a place where you can plug in, where you can not look to be served, but to serve. You know, that's a mistake most of us make. We get disgruntled at church because we sit here like this and we haven't gotten what we came for. Well, that's not what it's about. It's about coming and seeing where you can plug in, where you can make a difference in someone's life, where you can serve. So if this is the kind of church that you would like to join, if this kind of vision and mission that you've heard a little bit about today intrigues you, then we invite you to join. How do you do that? You come forward. And maybe you're here today and you're a lot like me. I'm a believer. I've been baptized. I'm a church member. But I know how I viewed people in the past. I know the expectations I put upon people in the past. And I need to be more discerning. I need to more be a better husband. I need to be the person that God wants me to be. And whatever issue of life, whatever area of obedience that means for you, God will tell you. And if you trust Him, He'll lead you. That is our invitation. So we stand, we sing, we wait for you to respond, to come forward as God leads.